League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show, he's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
And welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Friday. Got to get down on Friday, February 10th of 2023. It is Super Bowl Friday, everybody. Super Bowl 57 on Sunday in Glendale, Arizona, between the Kansas City Chiefs and Philadelphia Eagles. I almost said Phoenix Cardinals. I have no idea why, but it is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, baby. You want to get in. We might do a little Ask Me Anything fun because we want to liven things up a little bit on the program. I'm going to start with the question of today's show because there are two quarterbacks playing in Sunday's game who obviously the Houston Texans would kill to have either of. One of them is Patrick Mahomes, who has the makings of one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen. Career is very early, but he's off to a damn good start. And the way that he plays, it is aesthetically beautiful. On the other sideline, you have a guy in Jalen Hurts who continues to overcome obstacle after obstacle after obstacle and slowly but surely improve as a player. And these two guys have me thinking about the Houston Texans and what they should be doing at quarterback come draft time. So the question of today's show is this. Other than the obvious, talent, what are the traits that teams should be looking for in an NFL quarterback? We'll start with Sean Mapes behind the glass. Sean, if there's one trait, can't be talent because that's the obvious one, above all else that you're looking for in a quarterback, what is it that you would want?
I think it would be the leadership. The being a cool head in the locker room and just having your head on straight, I guess, is like the best way to say it. It's like just being a guy who knows what he's about.
Okay. So knowing who you are.
Yeah.
Which I guess Kyler Murray doesn't know who he is, right?
I mean, he knows who he is, but.
Well, remember Dan Patrick with J.J. Watt?
Oh, yeah. Did he say he didn't know?
He basically said, does Kyler Murray know who he is?
Did Dan Patrick just incept me into, wow?
I think he did.
Thought virus.
So you get to answer that question. I'm going to start by talking about Jalen Hurts. Because, look, we'd all like the Texans to get Patrick Mahomes. Guess what? They're not getting Patrick Mahomes. They're not. Just get that out of your head.
If you package 2-12.
No.
And Davis Mills.
No. Sean, stop. You're not getting actual Patrick Mahomes. You're not getting something that's like Patrick Mahomes. He is a miracle. That he fell to the Kansas City Chiefs, it is really a miracle. Retroactively, you can understand why he fell in the draft the way that he did, but that is a guy that you're likely not going to get, even if you love Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud or Will Levis, I guess. That's not what you're going to get with that second overall pick. I think best case scenario, you're going to get yourself a Jalen Hurts. Best case scenario. And by the way, that's good. Like Jalen Hurts is a good to great quarterback who has shown to this point in his career that he is slowly getting better and better. Obviously, you want a guy who learns. You know what I'm looking for, though, more than anything else in a quarterback? I'm looking for somebody who has overcome adversity. Jalen Hurts was actually asked about that leading up to the Super Bowl this week.
I feel like I was going through a really tough time in college. Going through things that no one else is really going through. And I knew I was going through it for a reason. I really believe that. So that's what I doubled down on. And I believe faith without work is dead. So while you have faith, you can't you know, not be doing anything. So I had a lot of faith, and I put a lot of work in. I never stopped believing in myself and believing what could be. So I had limitless possibilities.
Hurts, obviously, was the starting quarterback at Alabama, gets benched in the middle of the national championship game, stays there the next year, goes on to Oklahoma, plays fantastic at Oklahoma, and is a guy that I think has shown that when he gets hit in the face, he can get back up. And not every single athlete come draft day is going to make that readily presentable to you. You're going to have to do your digging. You're going to have to do research. But I would say that one of the reasons that I have stereotypes, I guess I have prejudice is the better word, against quarterbacks from Ohio State, quarterbacks from Southern California. What's the adversity that those guys are facing over the course of their life, let alone just at that university? You could point to Joe Burrow, who didn't make it at Ohio State, transfers to LSU, overcomes adversity, continues to improve every single year. I'm looking for somebody who has dealt with it and has overcome it. Like, that is something that obviously isn't the end-all be-all. You want the guy to be talented too. But a guy who has been through things that are tough, as opposed to, you know, the USC quarterback has traditionally been some kid from the Orange County, some kid like that goes to a Catholic school somewhere in the... Listen, nothing against Catholic schools, Sean Mapes, but...
Some great radio producers went to Catholic school.
That, you know what? I went to Catholic school growing up too, Sean, okay? So I'm not diminishing that, but I also can admit that even though I've been through some things as a person growing up, like, I've been pretty privileged because I got to go to private schools my entire life, you know? I think some of the guys who go through actual adversity, those are the ones that you should be looking for. And you want someone else who is tough. Jalen Hurts is tough, right? I mean, Jalen Hurts basically runs like a running back. You want someone who's athletic. And by the way, we got to stop with the slow quarterbacks. Like, the Davis Mills was never going to work out. He can't move. He can't bleeping move. Like, how the people that bought into Davis Mills, I don't get it. I really don't. He had the ability to throw a football 70 yards. So did Kyle bleeping Boulder. I mean, what are we doing here? You want someone who can scoot. Because guess what? If you have athleticism, you're going to be able to make up for the things you don't know the first couple of years of your career. You are going to, as you learn how to play in the NFL, as you learn how to read defenses, as you learn an offense, when you have that in your back pocket, that helps. I want someone who's mobile. I want someone who's tough, obviously, and a leader who can handle adversity. But what are you looking for? 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well on the HRNP listener line. A couple of comments. People maybe are looking for a handsome man as their quarterback. That's what Todd the Show says on twitch.tv/ESPN97.5.
I think it helps.
Yeah.
I think it helps. It doesn't hurt.
I feel like the people who are handsome in life, though, don't go through as much adversity as the ugly people. So maybe you want to look for somebody who looks like Eli Manning or looks like Ben Roethlisberger. Hey, I'm not saying they're ugly. I mean, I'm not the most handsome person out there. But, I mean, I would say that Jalen Hurts is a rather attractive man. Dr. Dre on 290 asks, Paul, does Jalen Hurts have kissable lips in your opinion? And isn't Ask Me Anything Friday. Wait a second. Let's look this up.
Jalen Hurts lips.
Sorry, Jalen Hurts' dad, if you're listening, because I know he was on the bench yesterday.
We're a different kind of show,
yeah,
Jalen Hurts' dad.
Listen, we're open to everything. Looking at my Surface Pro right now. I mean, that he does have lips. They are full. So I guess yes. I guess yes is what we're trying to say here. Did another show on this station say that? Interesting. Other traits that you're looking for in a quarterback. 713-780-3776 is how you get in by phone or to text in on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, the HRNP listener line. From the 281, thinking of Jalen Hurts, I would say perseverance. Okay. Someone also texted in. They have to have that dog in them. Having sex with your mother's friends is not a trait that I feel like a quarterback needs to have, as proven by Zach Wilson.
See, Sean. I feel like have that dog in them got stolen from what it really means.
What does it really mean?
It really means being a junkyard dog, dude. It's like the Patrick Beverley of quarterbacks. Taylor Heinicke has that dog in him. And Taylor Heinicke might actually be the answer to the question of, like, he has all the traits except talent that you want.
He's
not really talented, but he has all the other stuff.
He's kind of in that Ryan Fitzpatrick mold where you want to keep him around, but you don't want to give him a shot for very long. And they're very similar players, too. Too many, I think, risks taken on both of their parts. Hurts has gotten better at that. I think Hurts has gotten quicker with his decision-making, which is important. I mean, you want to also see a guy who has shown that he can pick up things on the fly. I think what's really incredible about both Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts over the last couple of seasons is that they went from schemes at Ohio State and schemes at LSU. Schemes at Ohio State and schemes at Alabama to schemes at LSU and Oklahoma, respectively. And that's not to say that college schemes are so complicated a quarterback can't pick it up, but I mean, that is something else that a lot of coaches are unfortunately not going to be with a young quarterback for their entire career. You know, you have to have somebody who can shake it off when things change. Take a look at Mac Jones this past season. I mean, Mac Jones had a promising rookie year. This past year, you gave him some bad coaches, and he looks awful to the point where the Patriots probably should consider moving on from him.
And you mentioned, like, Jalen Hurts and Joe Burrow moving on, and it, more than learning the playbook, is like both those guys were captains their first year after they transferred. Mm. Like, they came in the spring, and then by the fall, they were the team captains. That, I feel like, also says a lot about, like, they come over and just they know how to lead.
Right. And it's natural. I obviously, you have to be thrust into that. You can't be Brock Osweiler reading from a book and trying to convince everybody that you're leadership material by sounding like a politician with his stick up as you know what. You have to be natural with it. And Hurts has always been natural with it. So that is the question of today's show. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. ESPN. Other than the obvious talent, what are the traits that teams should be looking for in an NFL quarterback, specifically the Houston Texans? Coming up next, did two Houston Texans get robbed last night? We'll discuss. Don't go anywhere.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Before we get to a couple of Texans who may have been snubbed last night, it is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well on the HRNP listener line. You could tweet us at Gallant Says, twitch.tv/ESPN975 or facebook.com/PaulGallantSports. Let's go to the phones first. Vera on the west side of town wants to answer the question, what traits, talent excluded, are you looking for in a quarterback, especially come draft time? Vera, what you got?
Hey, Paul. Appreciate you taking my call. I think stability and consistency, right? There are going to be up and down days. And I know it's something that Russell Wilson early in his career when he was still corny and still performing had said that, right? You know, there are good days, there are bad days. You know, you're going to be passing 400 yards, four touchdowns on a given day. You're going to have only 150 yards and two interceptions. But are you able to still maintain an even keel on both of those days and able to perform, right? And I think with this point, I'll just take a little tangent, a little, and I wanted to say I think both the Super Bowl bound teams here have shown what the key is to getting a team there, right? I think with New England, it was always a little bit of a black box, right? Whether it was Belichick, whether it was his assistants who were doing it all, whether it was all on the quarterback. And I think there was a little bit of everything, but with these two teams, they have shown a roadmap for the rest of the league to follow, which is a little more, let's say, hopefully a little more sustainable if you're able to hit right. And that is, you have a strong ownership, which I'm glad the Texans ownership are showing a little bit of a spine. There's an analytical GM who are not really like big talkers. I mean, I know Nick likes to talk a lot, but Howie Roseman and Brett Veach both are kind of like, we will do our job in the rooms behind, in the war rooms behind. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the leader of the team in the head coach with Andy Reid and Nick Sirianni, right? And they're able to build the team and show. So hopefully with Nick being the analytical guy, the ownership showing a little more spine, and D'Amico being the face of the front, they really haven't had one since the quarterback, who shall not be named, had been traded away, had decided not to play. Mm-hmm. But since you were covering the Seattle Seahawks, I wanted to kind of get your thoughts, if you have time today, to talk about your thoughts on Matt Burke as the DC and Nick Cray as the chief of staff.
All right, Vera, appreciate the phone call. Lots to dive into. First off, Matt Burke, like I will get to Matt Burke in the next segment, because I do want to stay somewhat on topic here. And to answer your question, too, about like structure in an organization, Nick Sirianni's, I mean, done a hell of a job thus far. But Nick Sirianni does have a lot around him, as does Jalen Hurts. Howie Roseman deserves the most credit for what Philadelphia is doing right now. On the Kansas City side of things, Brett Veach, the Kansas City GM, has done a pretty good job of retooling. But obviously, a lot of what they are doing has to do with both Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. There's no one blueprint to follow, I guess, is what I'm trying to say here. You got to do it your own way. There are things that you can learn from a team that's successful, but you can't replicate it. Obviously, we found that out with New England over the last 20 years. Everyone's tried to replicate it. You should take some ideas away from New England, but you might not be able to execute them the same way that they've been able to do it. As far as the quarterbacks go, the question of today's show, traits that you are looking for in a quarterback, consistency, that's hard to predict at the college level. Obviously, you want that. Like that's the most important thing a quarterback does. Talent is something that helps you be consistent. But some guys that you would think are consistent, like take a Josh Allen, aren't. Patrick Mahomes has shown in the past, like he's not necessarily always on a 400-yard, 4-touchdown game kind of day. Every now and then he has those trying a little bit too hard, forcing things days. But this season, obviously, there weren't as many of them. He bounced back, considering, you know, he had Tyreek Hill leave him this offseason. It's no surprise that he was the NFL's MVP. Consistency is difficult to find. So you can't really look at a quarterback in college and take a look at his statistics and say, oh, yeah, great. Like, you know, that's totally different for quarterbacks that are playing in a good conference versus a bad conference. You know, some quarterback might put up ridiculous statistics and you'd think pretty highly of him, but you're like, wait a second. Is this guy actually going to be able to put it together week to week? Anthony Richardson's a guy that some people have floated as a potential Texans quarterback. I like Anthony Richardson, the prospect, because of all the possibilities with him as somebody who watches a lot of the Gators, because I like the Gators. But he's also maddeningly inconsistent. And I mean, just as many great plays as he makes, he's going to make some plays and you're like, what the bleep? And you're going to throw something at a wall. And you can get better as far as consistency over time. Jalen Hurts has shown that. Some of the other comments that we've gotten about what you're looking for in a quarterback, especially as far as consistency, though, are pretty hilarious. Facebook.com/Paul Gallant Sports. Jimmy says, I'm looking for a quarterback with a shorter neck. Well, yeah, Brock Osweiler, Davis Mills hasn't worked out.
Good news is you won't get one with a longer neck. I can almost guarantee you that.
I mean, Bryce Young, you almost want his neck to be a little bit longer so that he would be a little bit taller. Not what? He's sub 6 feet tall.
No, I'm just picturing him with like a longer neck. And yeah, it would be a little bit better.
Some comments from Twitter, @Gallant says, good looking, says Oso. Okay, that's a consistent theme from the Twitch and on Twitter.
I was going to say, not the first person to say that.
Okay. Some of you guys, it's Friday. Are you down bad? You need a bonk? Breen tweets just the obvious, obviously, which is talent. Well, yeah, but we need more. Looking for traits. Let's go to Twitch, too. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Largo has contributed. I need my quarterback to be able to cryptically tweet rap lyrics. Wouldn't mind if this quarterback has a crippling pill addiction. Also, an interesting thought on what that person should have had done to him when he was just born. Kugble says, I need him to drink his coffee black. Well, I mean, you know, you put sugar and cream in there, you know, you might have some gastrointestinal issues, and you can't have too much sugar, you know, unless you want him to get a little meat on top of the bone so he can absorb hits, maybe be a giant soup sandwich like Ben Roethlisberger was. Todd the Show, I need my quarterback to block his entire fan base on social media. So Derek Carr, Or Roethlisberger.
Yeah, or Roethlisberger.
Yeah, okay. These are some good ideas. Houston Dabking says, black quarterback faces adversity every day and has to overcome adversity every single day. You know what? That is a fair point. Based off of, what was his name? Boogerballs, who commented at the end of yesterday's show like about how I'm too hard on black athletes. Maybe Jalen Hurts or quarterback of Jalen Hurts' ilk coming here, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, maybe them being here, like, I would help them out. You know, I would create adversity for them because apparently that's what I do. Interesting. 713-780-3776 to call in. To text in as well, you can Twitch us, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. I said a couple of Houston Texans may have been robbed yesterday. The NFL's Hall of Fame class for this year will not include Andre Johnson. Offensive lineman Joe Thomas made it in. Linebacker DeMarcus Ware. Cornerback Darrell Revis. If you listened to me a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the Hall of Fame, I said that those three guys were locks to make it in. Zach Thomas and Rondae Barber, surprising, but I do think that they had comparable resumes to Andre Johnson. Zach Thomas at a time was considered the best middle linebacker in the NFL. Rondae Barber has been a part of a historic defense. Unfortunately, even though it shouldn't be held against him, Andre Johnson being on that team, that's going to be held against him. The other problem was, too, Reggie Wayne and Torrey Holt were also in this year's Hall of Fame class. I do think Johnson's eventually going to get in, but it's going to take some time. And it is a little bit frustrating because we know that there is a guy in John McClain who has been consistently the one stepping up. And at the NFL Hall of Fame meetings, basically a guy stands up, makes a pitch for a player as to why he should be in the Hall of Fame. We know that McClain's been focused on this for years, and it didn't happen this year. It was going to be hard for him to sell. He's going to have to find a new pitch, I think, with how he does it, especially with so many wide receivers getting in and more wide receivers probably being eligible next year. The other potential robbery might have taken place with the Houston Texans because Damian Pierce was not the Offensive Rookie of the Year. Ugh. Although, he did get one second-place vote. That went to Jets wide receiver Garrett Wilson. Jets cornerback Sauce Gardner also got it over Derek Stingley. So that sucks. That's something we're going to be thinking about for a while, huh? It sucks. It just sucks.
That's the take.
It sucks.
That sucks.
It just sucks. I personally think that Tariq Woolen with the Seattle Seahawks, and I'm a little biased on that front, should have gotten more votes. He only got one. I think Woolen is a fifth-round pick, 6'4". I feel like if Woolen was in New York and had the exact season he had in Seattle, and if Gardner was in Seattle, I feel like Woolen would have won the award. And I think maybe there's a little more hype attached to Sauce Gardner or Aiden Hutchinson, the other two finalists, because they were both top five picks. But, I mean, Woolen had an awesome year. I guess we weren't really talking about him till midway through the year. If he was in New York, I think we would have been talking about him a lot more quickly. Got to say, a lot of New York bias, Jake Asman, in the award ceremonies last night. Damian Pierce did win something, though, because of this run. He took home a strange trophy.
Pierce breaking tackles. Pierce still on his feet, and they finally bring him down.
Just get this ball and not be denied. There's the contact. Right at the line of scrimmage, running through tackles. There's another one. Get off me. There's another one. You can't bring me down.
That run against the Jacksonville Jaguars earned Damian Pierce the honor of best run of the 2023 NFL season. And he got, like, the golden scepter. What? What is happening?
I think it's a Kyle Brandt, like, thing that's gotten, like, from Good Morning Football.
Okay.
That I don't want to say has gotten out of hand. But, he actually handed the award that he gives out on the show to a real NFL player, like, on TV, like, at the award show. So I feel like it got a little out of hand. I don't know if this is an official award.
Okay.
I don't know if
the Texans post a picture of Damian Pierce holding the golden scepter.
What I'm saying is I'm not sure if John McClain's going to be using, 2022 golden scepter winner.
When he pitches for Damian Pierce for the Hall of Fame down the road?
Yes, in 2058 or whatever, yeah.
Hey, if he's still rocking by then, man, we're all doing it wrong, you know? We're all doing it wrong. I'm always impressed by people who, and I love John. John's always been really good to me. I've always been impressed by people who drink soda in the morning. like, okay,
soda
man.
In the morning?
Oh yeah, he's big.
He just starts his day with a Diet Coke.
Loves him some Dr. Pepper. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Baylor I was always guy. Like, I mean, listen, Dr. Pepper bleeps. I love Dr. Pepper.
That's crazy.
Dr. Pepper. I mean, and I know it's a Texas brand soda, but Dr. Pepper is the best non-flavored soda. If you get what I'm saying, like vanilla Coke is my favorite Coca-Cola. I don't like Coca-Cola as much as I like vanilla Coke. Vanilla Coke's like crack to me. I'll drink that and my stomach, like, you can feel all the syrup like slowly breaking down and like, oh, it's, I mean, I've seen pictures of what happens when soda's in your stomach and it grossed me out on soda forever. But Dr. Pepper's number one. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. What are you looking for trait-wise in a quarterback outside of talent? We'll also take a look at the NFL honors and the hiring by the Texans of defensive coordinator Matt Burke. Don't go anywhere.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
We're ready for some football, baby!
Dad! Hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time! The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Question of today's show, what are the traits, talent excluded, that you're looking for in a quarterback? Some more comments. Dr. Dre on 290. My quarterback needs fluid hips. Didn't Deshaun Watson have fluid hips?
Too fluid.
I'm just going to move on from that one. Other comments, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. I need a high IQ guy. Like, Fitzmagic. I mean, it would be nice to have a Harvard man, but you're going to have that brought up on every single television broadcast of the game. Do you really want to deal with that?
For the Texans, personally, I do not want anyone with any sort of interesting tidbit that, like you said, gets mentioned for 15 years of his career. Okay. I don't want that. Okay. Be not interesting.
Okay.
Don't want Will Levis, because every time they'll talk about him putting mayo in coffee or something.
Well, speaking of high IQ people, the Houston Texans hired a Dartmouth man as their defensive coordinator. Here is what I know about Matt Burke, their new defensive coordinator. He was previously the run coordinator and defensive line coach before being the defensive line coach for the Cardinals. He was the Eagles run game coordinator and defensive line coach. He was the defensive coordinator for the Dolphins, linebackers coach for the Lions and Bengals, and assistant with the Titans. He is a masshole. He played safety at Dartmouth, was part of an undefeated Ivy League championship team in 1996. He coached at Bridgeton Academy, which I'm pretty sure, had I stayed in high school in Massachusetts, is a school that my school, Thayer Academy, would have played. Grad assistant at Boston College, an assistant coach at Harvard, and a long track record in the NFL going all the way back to 2004, where he started with the Tennessee Titans. So, a lot of experience. We've heard that D'Amico Ryans is looking somebody with a diversity of experience. He's been in a bunch of different defenses. Are any of those defenses amazing? I don't know. This is one of those things that you really don't know much about the coordinator until you see him in action. But this is a guy who seems qualified. He's also a guy I'd never heard of before. By the way, did you know that he spent the offseason in Africa in both 2015 and 2016? He climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. He went on a safari in Botswana. And he did charity work in Uganda.
Okay, that's good. I thought you were going to say big game trophy hunting.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, we don't know that. We don't know that. But that is all from his Wikipedia page. Thanks, okay. Wikipedia.
That's what makes the wiki.
Look, he's good enough to have his own Wikipedia page. There's that. Pretty interesting track record. We'll see what they do at offensive coordinator. I still think we're way more interested what they do there. The NFL honors were last night as we get ready for Super Bowl Sunday. Super Bowl 57 between the Chiefs and the Eagles, with the Eagles 1.5-point favorites in that game. If you see me on twitch.tv/ESPN97.5, I'm picking the Eagles in this game. But let's talk about the awards. Patrick Mahomes won his second MVP. How many MVPs do you think he will have by the end of his career? This is one of the tricky parts about the NFL. Quarterbacks don't get MVP, much like in the NBA, where the same player doesn't get MVP every single year. Like, LeBron hasn't won an MVP since 2013, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. Quarterbacks don't get MVPs that often, like the same ones. I want to say Peyton Manning had four. I believe Aaron Rodgers has four. Tom Brady won three. Mahomes already has two. I think by the end of his career, he'll have four. I feel like with Mahomes, we've already seen a collective fatigue, which is, to be perfectly honest, BS. It's really sad that we do not, on a year-to-year basis, appreciate Mahomes the way that we should. We've put Josh Allen in the same conversation as him. We've put Joe Burrow in the same conversation as him. I like Joe Burrow. Josh Allen drives me crazy every now and then, but I like him too. Mahomes is clearly in his class by himself. Nobody else is in it. And it's weird that we consistently get like, he only had 50 touchdowns this year. I mean, like, that's Mahomes every single year. And if you watch him play too, I don't know how you could ever be bored watching the guy play. Even when he's in a losing effort against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, I mean, he was incredible. It's weird. Mahomes should get a lot more, like, GOAT talk than he does, and I get it. It's early, and I hesitate to do it because I'm a huge Tom Brady fan, as you guys know, but it's probably the most fun I've had watching a quarterback, even though I can't stand the Chiefs, on a regular basis.
It really is an indictment on us as football consumers that we do kind of, after 5 years,
right,
already kind of like,
he is.
Hey, the Bengals just have his number, dude. I don't know. Like what?
I mean, it's not like he's played horribly in those games either. He just had that one like bad second half in the AFC Championship game last year. I mean,
and then after that, it's like, look, would they even make the playoffs?
I can't.
That was the craziest part. Was August of this year.
Guilty.
Someone picked him in the Super Bowl.
Was that you?
Yeah.
Congratulations, Sean.
I was waiting. I was hoping for you to mention it at some point. Well, I mean, it was.
Oh, that's a bad job. I mean, you should have gotten the audio and just played it, man. You should have just gotten the audio. I'd have been like,
That's so much work.
What else do we have as far as the NFL honors last night? Okay, so Brian Daboll won Coach of the Year. It's not that surprising, head coach of the New York Giants, but Jesus, we have the Offensive Rookie of the Year and Defensive Rookie of the Year on the Jets, and we have the Coach of the Year on the Giants. Garrett Wilson as Offensive Rookie of the Year, okay, I can vibe with that. Sauce Gardner, I feel like it was a little bit more competitive on the defensive side of things. I don't know that Brian Daboll was the clear-cut Coach of the Year, and I'm still mad that Pete Carroll wasn't even a finalist. I think what Pete Carroll did in a year where people thought they would be ass is a lot more impressive considering he was in the same division as the defending Super Bowl champions, the San Francisco 49ers as well, than what Brian Daboll and the Giants did this year. And I get it. The Eagles had a great year. The Cowboys were pretty good too. And the Giants still found a way to make the playoffs. And Washington wasn't terrible, terrible either. But there's just a little too much New York bias going on here. Maybe this is just the Boston in me that's getting annoyed by that. Other awards, Defensive Player of the Year, Nick Bosa. Walter Payton, Man of the Year, Dak Prescott, so at least he gets that. NFL Comeback Player of the Year, Geno Smith, who did not even go. What a boss move. Justin Jefferson wins Offensive Player of the Year. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We will talk about the Super Bowl at some point, but general managers in this town had a very busy day yesterday. Not just Dana Brown with the Houston Astros, who we'll talk about at 11, but Raphael Stone of the Houston Rockets. What grade would you give Raphael Stone, old Raffy, for what he did at the trade deadline? Someone at our station went overboard. He needs to be taken to task. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5,
92.5. ESPN 97.5. Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston, still on the table. What traits are you looking for in a quarterback? Jalen Hurts, I think, is the guy that the Texans' best case scenario could get with that number two pick. I'm not talking about drafting Jalen Hurts away from the Eagles. I just mean that is a more realistic possibility, I think, for the Texans than finding a guy like Patrick Mahomes playing in Super Bowl 57. I did get a tweet. This is from David. Does well when he doesn't have the best recruits come to his school. It's closer to reality of the crap storm he is entering here with the Houston Texans. Yeah, that's a fair point, I think, to bring up. But at the same time, generally the quarterbacks that are getting drafted of late have been going to Alabama or Ohio State, right? We've seen a lot of those over the last couple of years.
Joe Burrow played on, like, the greatest college offense of all time.
Right. So, like, I think with USC and Clemson, maybe it's a little bit different because those are two schools that, compared to the rest of their conference, and to an extent, Ohio State, because Ohio State's way better from a talent perspective than the rest of the Big Ten. But I would say USC and Clemson in their conferences are, like, way more talented than everybody else. So that's why I've always had a little bit of a stereotype against quarterbacks from those three schools. That said, Deshaun Watson went to Clemson. Joe Burrow was at Ohio State for a little bit of time. Seems like Justin Fields is turning the corner. USC is really the one where you're like, huh? Why has this never worked out? Because it really has never worked out, unless you want to count Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer, I guess, did deliver. But like Mark Sanchez, and Todd Marinovich, and Matt Barkley, and who's the guy a couple of years ago? Sam Darnold. Like, it's a graveyard of...
Matt Leinart.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Matt Leinart. Yikes.
Texan legend.
Played one game, got hurt immediately. I remember that.
I got paid for the entire year.
It
was the backup quarterback, played one game.
The first radio show I ever did, I remember just making fun of Matt Leinart the entire show. I don't think I ingratiated myself to my listeners, but my co-host, Norm... I'm getting Norm's last name. That's a bad job by me.
Norm Miller.
Norm Miller, former like baseball player, was doing the show with me, and he thought it was hysterical that I was making fun of Matt Leinart. And I was like, yes, nailed it. I mean,
so you wouldn't say that Matt Leinart is a Houston legend?
No, I wouldn't, no.
But then who is?
It's like you're trying to trigger me right now. But it's a great way
to lob you into the segment.
It's a great way to transition me into the segment, Sean Mapes. You are very good at what you do. So, yesterday I saw a lot of people tweeting about how Eric Gordon, former Houston Rocket, is a legend. We got to reevaluate that word. But let's talk about what the Rockets did trading Eric Gordon and what they got in return first. So basically they traded Eric Gordon for a pick swap. They can exchange the Bucks first round pick, which they currently have, for the Clippers or Oklahoma City's, which could move them up 10 spots at best if the standings don't change. It's good that they got him out. I mean, the poor guy is playing with an embarrassment over the last couple of games. They got back John Wall, which is hilarious. Remember John Wall not that long ago doing that podcast where he's doing drive-bys on legitimately everybody in the NBA, from like, yeah, we would have beaten LeBron in the Eastern Conference Finals to this dump he took on the Rockets.
You got traded to the Rockets. Talk about the Rockets experience.
Trash.
I know.
Beyond trash.
I know. Nah, facts. I know. So they got back John Wall. They got back Danny Green. There's an assumption that both will be bought out, but maybe Danny Green won't be. And they traded Bruno Fernando. What a great name. And Garrison Matthews for guards Justin Holliday and center Frank Kaminsky. Remember him?
They had Frank the Tank.
Yeah, because they had him. And who was...
Sam Decker.
Sam Decker, right. The Wisconsin...
Now they both played on the Rockets.
Rockets legends.
Sam Decker.
The twin Wisconsin
borderline,
Towers.
Borderline Rockets legend.
Mm-hmm. He could have been someday. You know, just the ball didn't bounce the right way. They get 2 second-round picks, one in 2024 and one in 2025. Before we dive into the word legend and what it means, I do want to touch on what Jeremy Branham gave Raphael Stone for this trade. Gave him an A+. I've said this once, I'll say it again. We are way too generous with the grading, and I would have loved to go to Jeremy Branham's school. I would have loved to go there. Wouldn't have had to try if... Making a trade that's worse than a trade that, per Joel Blank on the Killer Bees yesterday, said like they could have made a trade with Phoenix last year for Eric Gordon and actually get a first round pick as opposed to the ability to swap up with a first round pick. Like, you want more picks. You don't want necessarily better picks if it's from 28 to 16 or 18 or something like that. I want more picks. And sure, you could find someone in the middle of the first round. It has certainly happened before. But we're giving him an A-plus for yesterday? No. I feel like a B. Sure, a B. He got Eric Gordon out. They didn't give up anything of consequence. They did acquire 2 second-round picks and moved up in the first round with one of their picks. But we're giving him an A-plus? Jeremy, come on, man. Let's at least grade a little bit better. A-plus. If you're trading Eric Gordon and getting an A-plus, like, you're getting a lottery pick. That's the only way you could give it an A-plus there. And I'm not the biggest Raphael Stone fan. I'm not. I will give him credit, though, because at the very least, Raphael Stone was able to trade Christian Wood for a first-round pick, and now no one wants Christian Wood. So that deserves an A-plus if we're going to give an A-plus out, right? This does not. No.
I think Jeremy was also full, like, maybe consciously, maybe subconsciously counting the, like, James Harden, how the James Harden trades worked out with Brooklyn crashing and, like, he's giving everything that happened in the, like, he's giving him extra credit for that.
Sure.
That might, which I still agree that I would probably put it at, like, B minus, C plus. Like, he did the job that he had to do.
It was an impossible situation that he was thrust into. He had to trade James Harden. He probably had to trade him to Brooklyn, and they got a pretty decent return. But they didn't get a great return. There was no young player that came back, and I think we got to realize that pick swaps are not extra picks. They didn't get 6 first-round picks. They got the ability to pick swap, which might not even be something that they get to use, like this year, which they are clearly not going to swap their picks with the middling Brooklyn Nets. They're not going to do that. So I think a B minus, that's fair. A plus, slow your roll.
I was saying B minus, C plus for the 2 trades that he made yesterday.
Yeah. Okay.
It was like he did like.
You grade the Harden trade then?
Probably around there too. Probably like a B.
Yeah, I think he did a bad job.
And honestly, like missing on the Philly deal might bump him up to a B plus.
Yes,
just not taking
saying
Ben Simmons.
No to that. Yes, great. That was
that's
especially
like the
now
deal you don't make. You
oh
know?
My God! Imagine if they had been.
Imagine kind of would Ben like Simmons that was on this team making $35 million a year.
Not gonna lie, I kind of want the content. I kind of would like the content. Like that would be a punching bag every day. It really would.
It'd be so exhausting.
Yeah, after a while, I think I would get annoyed by it. But, man, that guy sucks. He just sucks.
The Nets now, this is...
Just retire. Like, if you don't want to play, just retire, man.
Or, you know he makes 35 this year, yeah. 38, and then like 40.
It's insane.
It's crazy.
It is insane. Just retire if you don't want to play, man. But, again, maybe you want to rack up all those bills, play it out, and then do that. Thomas is in the Heights, 713-780-3776. He's got some thoughts on the Rockets trade yesterday, which saw them net the ability to swap a first-round pick that could potentially get them from 28 to 18. And on top of that, a couple of second-round picks and a bunch of players that they're probably going to move on from. Thomas, what's up?
Whoopee! Look at all second-round picks!
You seem excited.
Dude, I try to do a positive spin zone. First of all, I didn't know people could trade so many second-round picks. Everything was second-round picks, like, into the 2040s. I don't get it. I don't see the value of them, but, hey, whatever. If they're an asset. But, I don't know about giving them A+. I think I called in a while ago when we were doing grades on something, and everyone's being very, very – lenient and dishing out A's like no other. But
yeah,
I mean, look, it's getting Eric Gordon should have been on this team going into this year. He's been eating time from Ty and Deshaun Nix and Jalen Green and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. It's like good. He has a chance to go compete for something. I don't see the Knicks winning anything, but or I guess he went to the Clippers. I forgot where he went to, but yeah. Let's hold off on all these A's, man.
Yes,
and
thank you.
What?
Thank you.
So Raphael Stone could have gotten Cam Thomas in the draft, and then in the James Harden trade, I think. So I'm over Stone too. So I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate the phone call, Thomas. I'm not even going to say I'm over Raphael Stone. I just don't think he's qualified for the gig. I don't. And I've heard some things, but that behind the scenes, maybe he's a bit of a control freak, and I don't think he has the credibility to be a control freak. to have the job, okay, that's another thing entirely. It's not like he's done a bad job with what they've been dealt with, but it's also not like he's done a great job either. And I'm not giving, you know, out a participation trophy because you're able to trade Eric Gordon. If the goal of the Rockets is to do right by veteran players, they're great at that. But I mean, that's not winning a championship. That's what the Rockets do now. Hey, we'll sit. If you don't like it here, we'll trade you somewhere you want to go. All right. Cool. Anyway, I want to shift into talking about Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon is somebody who was a key piece of this team. 6 years here. Pretty damn consistent all the way through. I always felt that he was the third best player on that 2018 team that featured James Harden and Chris Paul, especially with how Trevor Ariza started to fall off a cliff around that time. And it's someone that, you know, if you can move past the end of Game 7 in that 2018 series between the Rockets and the Warriors, where the Rockets had had a 3-2 lead and then they missed the 27 straight three-pointers. If you can get past that, he was a part of one of the best teams in Rockets history. And he is somebody that should be respected and honored for it. And remember when Vernon Maxwell called in a couple of weeks ago? Gordon is somebody that I think the Rockets should make an effort to make sure he feels like he's still a part of this organization and specifically this organization's history. That said, yesterday online, the word legend was being thrown out in association with Eric Gordon. Can we stop? Can we raise our level of compliments and save it for things that actually deserve them? Because we do it with the word legend. We do it with the word greatest of all time. There should only be one greatest of all time. Now everyone's a GOAT. Everyone's a legend. Why? Shouldn't we have higher standards? Are people going to go and watch the movie The Legend of Eric Gordon? In a world where Eric Gordon's the greatest, arguably, free agent signing in Rockets history. In a world where Eric Gordon was on that 2018 team that almost beat the Golden State Warriors. In a world where Eric Gordon hit the shot that put the greatest team in NBA history, the Warriors, on the ropes. Eric Gordon was a legend. Eric Gordon is legend. Rated R. Like, that is not a movie any of us would go to see. We would rather watch the movie 80 for Brady. We throw this word out there. A legend is someone who you will be telling tall tales about down the road, or is someone who truly is one of the best. The definition of legend, I've got it online. Here it is. A non-historical or unverifiable story handed down by tradition from earlier times and popularly accepted as historical. Are we going to be doing that with Eric Gordon? No. James Harden? Probably, unfortunately. Chris Paul, more worthy of it. There's a long list of Rockets legends out there, too. Off the top of my head, Hakeem Olajuwon, Moses Malone, Clyde Drexler, Elvin Hayes. We could go further down the list. Big Shot Bob, Yao Ming, Tracy McGrady. Who else am I forgetting? Ralph Sampson, Calvin Murphy. Like, there's a long list of great Rockets players who have played here who are what much more worthy of the title legend. But if we're going to call Eric Gordon a legend, then, I mean, you're really opening up Pandora's box of what is a legend. Everything can't be a legend. We got to save the real compliments for people who truly deserve them. And now we just hand them out. Sorry, that diminishes the word.
We do need a word that's like a step down from legend, I feel like.
Yes.
You need, like, I have the synonyms for legend. You know, there's star, which we already use in basketball.
Star's too much.
Icon.
Nope.
Luminary.
See, all these things are basically, okay, let's call them luminaries. How about that? Eric Gordon, Rockets luminary. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What is a legend? Is Eric Gordon a legend? Also, we're getting some funny sarcastic suggestions as to who are real Rockets legends. I had a long list of those on Twitter. I'll read some of those up next on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Up next, Astros general manager Dana Brown is saying all of the right things. You're really going to like what you heard from him in a recent interview that he did. But my question is if you actually believe him. Plus, another Yankee spouting off. Paul Gallant Show, don't go anywhere.
This is ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.